The Grind.
It's The Grind
with Nathan McCray.
There's just no way you can get enough of me. Yo, mister.
Giving real insight needed daily. Call 657-383-1291. That's 657-383-1291. It's blogtalkradio.com, The Grind 101. Join your host, Nathan McCray, 8 a.m. Eastern, every Tuesday through Thursday, for an unscripted conversation. It's The Grind, 657-383-1291.
Your mouth will talk and all that good stuff, man. It's for all my folks who got legal jobs. You beat the odds, you feel me?
We ain't supposed to be here, never thought we'd see it. Now we live in proof, tell the world to believe it. Congratulations, thank God we made it. They told us we was left and now I know they hate it.
To be nothing but a dope dealer, but a hope killer. Supposed to brag on the guns and the coke kilos, dropping mollies in a coke zero. Ashamed of my education, that I'm finally off probation, that I quit smoking, got a wife and kids, and I'm a real father, no faking. See, I'm a black man who beat them. Supposed to be locked up with no job. Never should have went to college or learned who God is. You added up, it's all odd. See, I never knew my pop. I've been abused, ran from the cops. I went to school, high on them crops. Wasn't a thug, never been shot. Running from God, man, turning my back. Never would have made it, Marvin said. But he opened up my eyes and I can't look back. Why they look surprised, I just tipped my cap. Yeah, he did it, yeah. He did it, yeah. He changed me and I'm with it. He made me what I'm supposed to be. You get close to me, you might get it, yeah.
We ain't supposed to be here, never thought we'd see it. Now we live in proof, tell the world.
I'm supposed to be dead in jail right now.
Congratulations.
But instead I'm sharing my gift with the world.
They thought it's me, but nothing now I know they
hate. Turn up.
Working her way through college, trying to put food in her son's mouth. On the pole for them dollars, she was looking for some solace. Told the Lord, I promise, I'm headed to the hills with my heels on. Where the fields ain't attached to the billfolds. No copper fields from no Uncle Phil, just Phil Jackson, coach her. And get her out that game where they losing their dignity for a coach first. No skirts, just skirt. Found another way around the road work and left that fine establishment. It's like our whole life is having a growth spurt. She out the game and they hate it. Mad at her, she made it.
Haters
ain't nothing but some shellfish in a bucket. Probably get crabs if you touch it. Now she graduated from college. Scratch that, graduated with honors. Little man got a little cap and gown. Looked at her, matching his mama. Yeah.
Round of applause to all the ladies out there who didn't let anybody tell them what they could or couldn't be. And they kept their dignity while doing it. Congratulations. Proud of you, mama. Yeah.
Congratulations, congratulations, you beat the odds. Great morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Grind. We are live and in living color. Thank all of you guys for jumping on this morning to grind a little bit with me, man. It is an amazing morning. I tell you what, the sun is finally coming out in South Florida. And, you know, I just wanted to say good morning to you guys and say the struggle is real, man. The struggle is real. Ooh, the struggle is real. And I know some of you are saying, you know what, struggle is real. You're saying, man, struggle is real. And you have to laugh about it, man. You really do, because, you know, I put out something earlier. I said, you know, there's life in the storm and there's life after the storm. And, you know, one thing that I realized is that life is just one big storm. It really is. And sometimes it blows in good stuff and sometimes it blows in bad stuff. We just got to be prepared to handle it. You know, whatever comes our way, we need to be prepared to handle it. But, you know, we go through life, man, through every day, listening to people tell us, you know, what we should do if this happens and what we should do if that happens, how we should feel and, you know, this and that and move this way, you know, ebb and flow that way, you know, and we kind of just sit back and suck all of that in, you know, and it's great that you have things in your life that can help you move, you know, from one level, you know, to the next. I wanted to play another song, but I'm gonna save that for a moment because, you know, I really wanna talk about a couple things today. But you know, it's great to have, you know, somebody or something in your life that can help you move from level to level, man. That can really help you remove that safety net from your life, and because if you got things happening in your life, man, and I'm going to laugh a lot today, but if you have things happening in your life, man, you have to realize that things are always going to happen. It's just how you handle them. You know, every morning when we wake up, we have two choices, you know, two choices, two decisions to make, you know, and those decisions are simply to do it or not to do. To do or not to do. We wake up, but we put our feet on the ground. And sometimes before we even put our feet on the ground, we lay in the bed and we open our eyes. And I don't know about you guys, but for me, one of the reasons why when I open my eyes, I need to get out of bed and start moving is, you know, I made a statement the other day. I said, you know, the devil really never attacks or opposition really never attacks, or conflict really never attacks anybody that's not building. If you're not building and everything is, you know, if you're just standing still in life, then you're not going to have a whole bunch of conflict. But conflict always follows the person that's building. So the longer I lay in bed in the morning, you know, the more fighting I have to do because I'm sitting still. I'm coming to find out that the longer I sit still, the more things come in my mind and I have to fight, you know, even harder. So, you know, it's not just sitting still always just physically. Sometimes it's mental. But when I'm just laying in the bed and I start thinking about things, I start to really, you know, think about what I need to do today and what's the next, you know, what's the next level and you know, what do I need to put into play today to get myself uncomfortable enough to grow today, because I want to grow every day. So I need to do something uncomfortable every day in order to grow, else I stay the same. So I try to pop up out of bed, you know, but the enemy wants you to lay there. So he makes it feel good to lay in bed and think about nothing and do nothing. But that doesn't happen that way. When you lay in bed, you know, you start thinking about all of the good, then you start thinking about the bad stuff. So I said, you know what, you know, let me jump up. And it's not like I got a whole bunch of bad stuff in my life, but we all have things that we're concerned about and things of that nature. But I jump up, you know, I say, let me get my day started. And when I jump up and I start moving and I can get my coffee and I can get my hands on a pencil, or I can get, you know, in front of my PC and start typing. Because how many of you know when God is really calling you to a place to where it's time to build, when it's time to do something different, he's going to start to really overflow your brain, overflow your mind with something that you need to implement. So he starts to give you ideas and he starts to give you, you know, different visions of things that you can do. And it can be overwhelming if you don't have a pen and paper in hand, or if you're not sitting behind a PC where you can type it all up and file it, you know, somewhere to where you know where to get to it when it's time to get to it. So if you're building, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, there's so many things running through your head right now. And those two decisions to do or not to do can be either can help your life or it can harm you. So, you know, I try to wake up in the morning and I choose to do. And we all have those moments. Let's just be real. Let's just, you know, let me tell you guys something. Let me say this. Let me veer off a little bit. Nobody is perfect. All right. If you're looking at a person right now in your life and you think this person just walks on water, you think this person has just got everything together. You know, nobody is perfect. And you can't look at people as perfect. You got to realize that everybody goes through their own thing. Everybody has their own struggles, but it's not the struggles that really define a person. It's how they handle those struggles, right? So we all have those moments and we have to see people as flawed. We see people as, you know, a person can be as sinful as the next, but at the end of the day, it's how they handle the opposition that comes their way that really attracts you to them. So everybody struggles. I just wanted to get that out because I believe, you know, people think that certain people are just invincible. And nobody's invincible. It's hard work. You got to fight. And the more you fight, the more you grow, the more you move up. Believe me, guys, it's more fighting to do. It's more fighting to do. You know, it's funny because I watched the movie. And, you know, it's like I try to watch a couple of movies a week because movies feed me. I can relate life to movies sometimes. You got your thing. I got my thing. I don't know what yours is, but I got mine. And, you know, there's a couple of times a week I try to watch me a good movie. And when I watch that movie, it's not so much as the action that's happening in that movie, more so as it is the message that I'm getting from it. And you can get a lot of different viewpoints on it. But, you know, God always speaks to me in that movie and gives me something out of it that I can apply, you know, to life. And I was watching a movie the other day and the movie was about, you know, the battles that happen, you know, carnally or, you know, the fleshly battles and the battles that happen in the spirit, you know, the battles that happen in the earth in the heavenly realms. And I was thinking about that movie and I was watching, and I was like, wow, the battles that are happening down here pale in comparison to the battles that are happening up there. And I'm like, I want to fight the battles up there, because if you can defeat the battles, if you can win your battles up there, then winning your battles down here are simple. I mean, they're minute, because the battles up there is so very more intense. And, you know, it's funny because they transitioned the two battles. The battle that was going on down on earth was like, it seemed like it was really, really fast and intense. But when they contrast the other battle going on, you know, up top in the heavens, it was like, boom, it's night and day. It's like everybody was in slow motion, you know, in the earthly realm, but in heavenly realm, the battle was so intense and it was so much bloodshed and it was so much action, so much movement, because the battle was more intense. And it's the same as the battle in our mind. If we can conquer it, if we can win the battles in our mind on a daily basis, then the battles that we face when we walk out our door are like slow motion. It's like, I can see the punch coming. Are you serious? Are you really trying to hit me in the face? I can see you. I can see you lifting your hand. It's like everything is slow motion. So you see it coming and you just dodge it. And it's an amazing feeling when you know what's getting ready to happen. You see it happening because the battle that you fight in your mind, you've learned how to fight so well. You've become a warrior. So now the battles that you fight here are minute. They're minor. So, but how do you really get to that point? How do you get to that point? And I talked about the storm and fighting in the storm and there's life after the storm. Yeah, we know that. To be true, we've heard that all of our lives. But how do we really fight here, you know, on earth? How do we fight? How do we really be able to fight that spiritual battle that we need to fight? You know, I talk about a term, I use it all the time. It's called silencing the noise. You know, and every morning I say we wake up, we have a couple of decisions to make, to do or not to do. And the only way we can really make the right decision is if we're silencing the noise. It's like we hear people tell us that our lives can be, of course, whatever we make them. whatever we want them to be. We can make our lives be whatever we want them to be. And that's true. But there are forces that don't want you to make it anything. But the trick is figuring out what and who those forces are. But here's the deal. So a lot of people are shouting right now because you're saying, you know, yeah, there's this that's holding me back, and there's that person that's doing this, and there's that. It's like the battle in the heavens and the battles on the earth. One pales in comparison to the other. So in essence, if you're fighting the battle here and you're putting all your efforts here and fighting the battle when you walk out your door, then you're really not fighting the battle before you walk out your door. So the biggest, the greatest battle that we fight, or the greatest force, is itself. It's figuring out how to defeat self. That's the person that really holds you back, is you. Once yourself is in check, every other force becomes weaker and weaker and weaker. That's when you start seeing the punches when you walk out the door, right? I see the punch happening. Are you serious right now? And you start to laugh. That's why I say I'm gonna laugh a lot, because you can see the punches being thrown when you're fighting the battle in the right place. See, self-motivation sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, is the toughest, because you can choose to do it or not to do it. And no one else will know at that moment. No one else will know but you. And you can elaborately tell yourself whatever you want to tell yourself, but no one will know that you quit on you but you at that moment. At some point it comes out, but at that moment, no one else will know that you quit on you but you. But when you get to that moment in life where you're more concerned and honest about how you feel about you, is when it starts that to really decay or to erode that comfort zone, because we got to get out of that comfort zone. Everything that I'm talking about doing, everything I'm talking about not doing is in the comfort zone. Everything I'm talking about doing is outside of the comfort zone. And to be outside of that comfort zone can be the coldest, the loneliest, can be the most discouraging place in the world. But we all wake up and say, we want this, we want that, we want to catch the big fish, but we have the wrong bait. We want to catch the big fish, but we're staying on the bank, and we can't cast out far enough to get the big fish that we've visualized. So we're trying to catch a shark fish with a cane pole. And we're just not willing to leave the bank because it's not comfortable out there. So when you realize that you're your own worst enemy, and you have to conquer self, and you have to motivate yourself, and you're the person that you're going to disappoint, not someone else. It doesn't matter what someone else feels about you. What do you feel about you? How do you feel about where you are right now? When you get to a point to where you're mad about where you are, is when the pain gets enough for you to do something about where you are and change it. You have to be the person that says, I'm not good where I am. It doesn't matter what someone else thinks. You have to be the person that says, this hurts, man. It sucks that I can't do this or I can't do that. It sucks that I'm always, you know, living the same old stale, stinking life every day. It sucks. You have to be the person. You have to silence the noise enough in order to hear yourself. See, it's easy to talk ourselves out of things, right? That's the easy part. But the hardest part is to talk yourself into something. Because you know how you wire. You wire for safety. You know, you wire it with the bumpers. You know, you go to the bowling alley and you put the bumpers up, and you, so your ball don't go in the gutter, because you're afraid of failing. So you put the bumpers up. You know, you don't know how to swim. You never learn how to swim. So instead of learning, you just put the life vest on. It's safe. Everybody's got life vests on. So I mean, what? Now, there's a smart thing to do when you're out in the ocean to put a life vest on, because you can't. That's a long way to swim, all right? Let's just talk about being smart. But let's talk about going after your goals and smashing the comfort zone and removing the safety net and taking off the removing the bumpers, taking off the life vest that's holding you back, that's keeping you on the bank. But how do you do all of that? You don't know what you can do until you silence the noise. Doing something uncomfortable every day will help you grow every day. Right? I'm going to tell you how to silence the noise here in just a moment. And it's a lot easier than you really think. And let me tell you guys something. I will never come on this show and tell you what I think. I will always tell you what I know, because it's either been a practical experience that I've had or something that I'm actually going through. I believe that's what makes this show the realest show ever, because I'm speaking to you out of my struggle, out of my conflict, out of my pain, out of my joy, out of my progress, out of my growth, not someone else's. Because I can only relate what I'm telling you with me. I can only feel passionate about what I'm telling you if it's me, if I've seen it, if I've done it, if I know how it feels, if I know how it tastes and smells. I can only talk to you in that light. That's just how I'm wired. So some of the things that really hold us back when we get up every morning, let me see how much time I got here. Some of the things that really hold us back when we get up every morning is things, stuff that we're exposed to, right? And I want to say that the power of thought is amazing. You know, and you can really tell yourself to believe anything that you feel passionate about. So right quick, ask yourself what you're passionate about. What am I passionate about? And then, you know, focus your thought on it. And the power of thought of what you're passionate about, you start to do. You start to manifest the things. If you want a thing, then you have to, of course, practice the principles of that thing. So when you want something, you can't want to be a world-class sprinter if you never practice sprinting. If you've never ran more than 2 miles an hour, you can never be a world-class sprinter, right? The problem is most people don't feel passionate about much because, you know, of the anesthesia that's being administered by the world that keeps us in that trance that we're in. It's that anesthesia. It's when we wake up in the morning and we fail to silence the noise and the voices start to happening, and we just keep listening to everything that the world throws at us. And we were born into that thing, right? We were born into it, so we should know how to function in it. We know how to function in it, definitely. We know how to function in the way that the world wants us to function, to keep us in the spirit of mediocrity, to keep us average. That's how we function, because that's how everyone else has told us we should be, and that's what we see every day. So let me give you a quick example of some of the anesthesia and some of the noise that happens, you know, every day. When's the last time you've really been online? I don't go online that often. I used to wake up every morning and I used to get my cup of coffee and I would sit there and I'd watch the Netscape headlines. And I would just, they would scroll by, and it used to be 10 or 12, and then it went to 15, and then all of a sudden it's 20 something. And if you look, it's like 40 odd, some odd headlines now. It's just, and the amount of headlines that they have every day, it really is synonymous to the amount of nonsense and the drama and the conflict that's going on in the world, because you never really, really see or hear about the good stuff that's going on. It's just really a lot of the bad stuff. They'll throw a couple of good things in here and there, but it's always sauteed with something bad that they want you to see, right? So if you've been online lately and tried to just read a news article or tried to just get some info, it's riddled with all sorts of videos and advertisements. That's what they call programming. When you're watching it, you're being programmed. I'm trying to tell you guys how to silence the noise. So when you're watching it, you're being programmed. So to lead you down the right path, that they're choosing for you. And before long, you look up and you just went on trying to look and to see what happened with the basketball game last night. And all of a sudden, you're thrown into 30 minutes of something frivolous. Everything's flashing up on the screen and telling you, oh, check this out. This is what such and such did. And wow, this happened over here. And you look up and you've spent 2 hours surfing the internet, looking at conflict and strife and envy, all kinds of nonsense that the programming has thrown you into. See, now you're back into it. It's noise. It's noise. But we get up every day and we allow that same noise to permeate us every day. And we're numb. We can't think outside the box because the box is, it's like we're laying in the hospital bed with the tubes and the needles in our arms, and they're administering all of this anesthesia, and they've got the thing on your head, and you're being programmed to believe, move, and have whatever they want you to be, or whatever they want you to have, or whoever they want you to, whatever they want you to do, because we don't know how to silence the noise. So we just keep being a part of the program because it's comfortable. You know, people are geared for conflict. People are geared for drama. They want to see who failed yesterday. They want to see all of the hate and the hurt. They say, I just want to stay up on the current events. I just want to know what's going on. But it's not. It's whispering to you like this, but it's speaking loud to your spirit, to your mental like this. And you don't know it because it's what you've always done. It's the normal thing. Hey, guess what? Everybody does it, right? I talk about silencing the noise all the time. I also talk about like straightening the curve. I talk about purging. I talk about sacrifice, association. A lot of different things I say, but it kind of sounds like I'm giving a cure for something, right? Because I am. I'm trying to give you the cure to silence the noise, the same noise, the same anesthesia that's keeping you bound in mediocrity, that won't help you, that won't let you leave the bank, that won't let you take your life jacket off, that won't tell you you need to change your bait because you're only going to catch minnows and you're trying to catch a whale. You want it, but you're not willing to leave the bank, the comfort zone, to get it. Because the same old noise is there. You do the same thing every day. You're not doing anything uncomfortable in order to grow. It's like being a supercomputer, but you can't be super unless someone turns you on. So we wake up, we turn on the computer, and we start watching all of the numbing nonsense, or we insert ourselves in situations every day that numb us and keep us anesthetized to the world. And we're a supercomputer. We have a brain that was meant to do something amazing, something only unique to you. But people are affected by average, but they want above average. They don't want the change that's associated with what they really want. And I always say people will do what they want to do until they have to do what they need to do in order to get what they really want. I didn't say what they want. I said what they really want, right? Because there's two types of wants. There's two types of wants. And let's just, I mean, the gloves are off, guys. This is the realest show ever. So, I mean, let's just be real with ourselves. And, you know, I heard I heard T.D. Jakes say one day, he said, being real will get you killed. And I said, you know what? He's right. People don't like to hear the truth. People don't like to hear the truth. They want to get their ego stroked. They want to be that person that just always hears the good. People don't want to hear the bad, the things that will help them move, the things that are personal for them. They don't want to hear because it hurts. I'm cool where I am. I've worn a groove in this chair. I've been sitting here all my life. I don't want to move. I'm good. So they get angry when you start telling them the real deal. And they lash out. But when you say something crazy that feeds the crazy, when you say something comfortable that feeds the comfortable, oh, yeah, that's what I want to hear. When you educate somebody on something that's going to help them, not only physically but mentally, people fight that change because it takes them out of their comfort zone. Because there are two types of wants. It's what we say we want, or what you've tricked yourself and others into thinking you want because it feeds average and comfortable. It feels good, right? That's the first one. It's what we say we want. It's what we're telling the world. It's what we're telling everybody else. But that second one is what you really want and can't have because it requires change and that uncomfortable feeling that you don't like. So what we do is we bury that way down. We're not going to fight for that. We bury that way down deep. We're not going to go to battle for that. We're not going to tell somebody no. We're not going to tell somebody that, no, that's not, that doesn't fit into what God has for me. We're not going to tell somebody that, hey, you know, that's wrong. I'm not going to do that because that questions my integrity. We bury that way down deep so that no one ever knows that we're just average. See, and what we don't realize is that the struggle and the conflict are both a part of breaking that spirit of average. But we run from the very thing that will take us higher. But we want to go higher. So there's a conflict in the brain that says, I want to be somewhere that that you don't have the propensity to take me. I want to be better. I want to be healthier. I want to be wealthier. I want to know more on this subject or that subject. But I'm not willing to go through the change necessary to break the spirit of average to get it. See, there's no way you can go up without struggles and conflict. There's just no way. It doesn't work that we were geared up to be able to take on the things to fight for the things that we want. And what happens is we get comfortable not fighting, but appearing to fight. And I put out a post the other day. It says something about people have gotten so accustomed to being fake that they really, I can't know what it says. I'm paraphrasing, but society has made people so fake that they really don't like the truth anymore. They don't want to hear the truth. And anybody that's trying to tell them the truth, there's a lynch party for that person that's trying to tell them the truth. So people just allow themselves to be, you know, anesthetized by average and mediocrity, and they fit in wherever they are. They don't know how to silence the noise. How do you really silence the noise? The noise that we're born into as babies happens around us every day. We grow up with the noise. We grow up with the negativity. We grow up, you know, with our parents saying this and our parents saying that, and we're patterning ourselves after our parents. If they don't do anything in life, then we get to the point to where we think we shouldn't do anything in life, and we pattern our lives after our parents, and the noise continues, and we keep listening to what the world tells us we are, what we can have, and who we should be. And we keep that noise going on in our heads instead of cutting it out You know, I was talking the other day about the eagle and the seven principles of an eagle. And it's amazing that, you know, the most powerful bird in the world with the most prestige flies alone. It's amazing that this bird has the resolve to never eat dead things. This bird only wants to eat something that it kills. Fresh prey, live prey. This bird chooses and it's made and trusts very, very carefully. This bird has a very, very small circle. One of the things I found fascinating about the eagle is that when it gets a little older and its wings start to get, you know, tattered and old and it's worn, it'll find a place by itself, pluck every feather off of its body until it's completely bald, and it does not come out until it's grown all new feathers. Who's going to go through that? Who's willing to really go through that conflict, that struggle? Who's willing to have that resolve, that mindset that says, you know what, man, I don't care. They say that I can't. They tell me that I'm old. They tell me that I can't fly anymore, but I'm going to show them. I'm going to go pluck all my feathers out, and I'm going to grow brand new feathers. And it's not that they go and pluck the feathers out. It's the fact that they're willing to go in the dark, be alone, grind, get in the trenches, and just grind until they're better. And see, I said before, I said, you know, it's okay to grind in the dark. It's okay to get a little dirty while you dig in your trench. It's okay nobody sees you, because when the light comes on, there you are. You're ready for it because you've done the work, you've struggled, you've fought, you've battled. So now here you are. Here's the eagle. The eagle comes out. Look at me. I got brand new feathers. How you like me now? But here's the most fascinating thing that I really found about the eagle. Okay. Above the fact that it flies by itself, it builds its nest in high places, above the fact, you know, that it trusts, you know, only the people that into their lives that they know are really, really for them and not against them. It above the fact that it doesn't eat dead things, it only eats what it kills. It eats what it kills, not what someone else kills. It's not a buzzard. It's not a vulture. It doesn't wait until someone else kills something, and then they swoop down and eat it. It's called integrity. It has its own prey. It flies high not because it can, but because it wants to see its prey before prey sees it, and it can see more area up high. No other birds can get there. All of that's fascinating. Here's what I found the most fascinating. See, because it starts as young. It starts with the mindset that you've been permeated with or saddled with. It can be good or bad, right? But it can be changed. It shows you that when it goes into the lonely place and it plucks all its feathers out and grows new ones. So it tells you that I can be a new bird. I can fly high again. But here's the piece that really, really blew my mind. What blew my mind was that when the eagle builds its nest, when the eagle builds its nest, it doesn't just put some twigs and some feathers. No. That eagle goes and it goes from the high place and it goes down. The male and the female, the male will go down and grab the twigs and then bring the twigs back up, and they'll start to make the foundation of the nest, and the mother will put some feathers in it to, you know, to as the foundation, and then the male will go down again and grab some more twigs and bring those back up. So now they're making the nest strong so the babies can't fall out. So they put some more feathers, some more twigs, so they got another layer. So now you've got your foundation. And then I found it interesting that the father goes down at that point, and not only does he grab some twigs, he grabs some thorns as well. So when he grabs those twigs and thorns, brings it up, they make the nest, another layer, twigs, thorns, and feathers. He goes down, he grabs some thorns, some more thorns, brings it up, puts the thorns on. Now it's thorns and feathers. Then he goes down and grabs some more thorns and brings those up, makes another layer. Then that last layer, you know, going to make it comfortable for the baby. So there's feathers, there's, you know, and there's some twigs, and, you know, the babies are born and they're nurtured and they're loved, you know, and they're fed, but they start to get their feathers. And when it's time for them to leave the nest and fly, they don't just crawl out and fall out on their own. The mother throws them out of the nest, kicks them out. And as she's kicking each little eaglet out of the nest, she's removing that first layer so that now when they come back to the nest, this happens 3-4 times, which means there's different layers to the nest. When they come back to the nest, each time they come back, they figure out that it's not as comfortable in the nest as it was the first time, because when they're out and they're falling to the earth and the father's going down before they hit the ground and swooping and grabbing them and bringing them back up, the mother's pulling that comfy layer off of the nest. And after that second time, they come back to the nest and they're like, whoa, this doesn't feel the same. This hurts. There's something not the same about the nest. It's not comfortable anymore. So the birds get kicked out again. When they get kicked out again, they come back and they say, hey, this is not the same nest, man. This is not comfortable. The thorns are sticking them, and they're like, I got to get out of here. So that final time when they get kicked out of the nest and they start to try to flap their wings, they get grabbed again. And this time they don't bring them back to the nest. They bring them up into the rocks, and they say, hey, you get ready to get kicked off these rocks again. And it's time for you to fly. And now they start to, when they get kicked off the rocks, they already know that they don't have a comfortable nest. They don't have a comfort zone to go to. So now, before they get to the ground, what do? They fly. Why? Because the comfort zone was no longer there. The bird that flies by itself, the bird with the most powerful wings, the bird that does everything, that has all of the characteristics that we should have, has smashed its own comfort zone. What are you doing today? Are you allowing your comfort zone to be your broke zone? Are you allowing your comfort zone to be your stale zone, your stagnant zone, the zone that keeps you where you are? Or are you willing to take off the life vest? Are you willing to move out from the bank? Are you willing to change your bait to match your mindset, to match your vision? Are you willing to really fish for the big fish in the deep water? Are you willing to learn how to swim finally? Or do you just want to stay in the comfort zone? Are you willing to silence the noise? Are you willing to purge? Are you willing to take the hits when people start to fall away from you? Are you willing to take the hits when you start losing the people that you thought were your friends, but were really there to keep you in the same place that you've always been? See, when you get willing to do that, when you get out of your own way, when you tell yourself that, self, I'm mad, I'm tired, I'm ready to do something different, and guess what? I don't care how anybody feels about it. I got to do what's good for me right now, because my life needs to be some sort of a living testament that shines enough to make somebody else want to be a part of what's going on, that makes somebody else want Somebody will want to see, somebody sees your light shining and you could be, you could help somebody else. But we can't do that because we're in the comfort zone. The struggle is real. We say that. I said it in the beginning, but we're willing to stay in the struggle and stay in the comfort zone. But don't let me fool you. I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Just because you leave the comfort zone doesn't mean things are going to be plush. It doesn't mean things aren't going to happen. But the reality is things are happening already where you are in the comfort zone, going nowhere. Why not be going somewhere and fighting as sitting still and fighting? A moving target is always harder to hit. And I got to tell you, the Bible says there will be a time when your enemy will become weary. But they'll never become weary if you're not moving, if you're just sitting there doing the same thing. So silence the noise. Silence the noise. Purge. Associate. I mean, sacrifice. Straighten the curve. The quickest point between A and B is a straight line. Figure out how to straighten the curve without sacrificing your integrity, without sacrificing the sanctity of the system, without sacrificing the thing that you, the things that you love most, the things that make you who you are, who God created you to be. Figure out how to straighten that curve and get there in the most controlled, quickest way possible. Silence the noise, ladies and gentlemen. So you guys have been amazing this morning, and you know, there's a lot of things that I'm very passionate about, and a lot of things that I struggle with, and I know you guys struggle with as well, you know, and I say, you know, be transparent, you know, be the person that you know, it's okay to say, I don't have it all figured out. And I can tell you right now, I don't have it all figured out, but I do know that my purpose is in my process. And as I start to move through my process, as I start to go through the conflict and the struggle of being in my process and finding out what my purpose is and walking in my purpose, then at that point is when I feel good about myself. Not when someone else feels good about me, but when I feel good about myself. No one else knows you but you. So be that person that goes for what they want in life. Be that person that sees a vision and puts forth the right efforts to accomplish that vision. So many things in between that you should do, but you don't have to know everything. All you have to do is start. Sad enough, that's the quitting point for most people, is to start. So, guys, thank you so much for jumping on the grind this morning. It's been absolutely amazing. You know, as I said, you know, I love real conversation, real people, real life, you know, and really the unscripted conversation, moving and saying the things that are really, you know, in my heart and on my heart is really a passion of mine, and understanding that if it's not in there, ladies and gentlemen, it's not going to come out. And if you put it in there, allow God to bring it out when it's supposed to come out. So, guys, thank you so much for jumping on the grind this morning. It's been an absolute pleasure. You could have been doing anything in the world that you wanted to do this morning, but you decided to spend, you know, this last 50 minutes with me, and I don't take that lightly. It is a complete honor. So thank you, guys. And remember, keep moving forward, because there's absolutely nothing worth seeing behind you. Silence the noise, ladies and gentlemen. Don't quit.
Listen, the economy's down, prices seem so high, seems like all I ever do is try and try, yeah, trying to make ends meet, trying to pull myself above so I can see. But every now and then it seems so helpless, hopeless,
but I'm a living, breathing testimony of what God can do. If you hold on long enough, He will see you through. I want to encourage you, whatever you do,
whatever you do,
just
don't
complain. Ah, check this out. I've got my own set of challenges, yeah, yeah, yeah. And my friendships sometimes, they wear a little thin. I even began to wonder if my own family is out or in. I'm trying to make sense of my life. I'm trying to overcome all that's not right, yeah. But sometimes, you know, it seems so. Don't give up.